It is a very sad day as the world mourns the loss of Hana Kimura, the young wrestler, second generation, who has passed away tragically at the age of 22 years old. It's Jim Valley. This is Wrestling Observer Live, and we are live Saturdays, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, and we're here 7 days a week, Monday through Friday. That's 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, and Sundays, 6 p.m. Eastern and 3 Pacific. I almost canceled today, but I did not. But I came very, very close, but I felt that I should be here, that I owed you a show. For everyone on Twitter and social media asking me, yes, at some point, we will record a Pacific Rim Pro Wrestling podcast with Fumi Saito talking about Hana Kimura. I just don't know when that will be. Fumi, very close with Hana's mother, Kyoko Kimura. And, you know, this is a very difficult time, not just with Hana's death, but the coronavirus and how it affects everyone. It's just a very, very bleak time with many deaths, including Shad Gaspard this week. And of course, today being the anniversary, the 21st anniversary, I believe, of the tragic death of Owen Hart that was discussed this week in Dark Side of the Ring. So these are very dark times indeed. But we will talk about Hana Kimura today. And if you're a fan who just primarily watches WWE, AEW, wrestling in North America, odds are good that you know of Hana Kimura through Pacific Rim on Wrestling Observer or on this show, because I've talked about Hana for quite a while. I've been an advocate and an admirer of her skills and what she brought to the table. And we will talk all about that and pay tribute to Hana Kimura. And I will try to explain to those who don't know exactly what made her so special. We'll also see if we can get to a Double or Nothing and see if we can talk about some other more pleasant things in wrestling. We'll see what happens. Jim Valley, Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline, Broadcasting Network. It's Jim Valley, Wrestling Observer Live. There is a free show up right now at WrestlingObserver.com. Dave Meltzer and I interview Martha Hart, the widow of Owen Hart. Today's the 21st anniversary of his tragic death that was covered this week on Dark Side of the Ring. If you're a subscriber up right now at The Observer, there's an interview Dave has done with Owen's brother, Ross Hart, who obviously grew up with Owen, talks about his family life, and is very much kind of the wrestling historian of the family. So really kind of two different perspectives on Owen up right now at WrestlingObserver.com. Today, so many people mourning and talking about the loss of Hana Kimura. And if you listen to this show, I've talked in detail about Hana Kimura for quite a while. Matter of fact, I believe the last time I spoke about her was in January, talking about I felt that when it came to the Observer Awards, that the fans kind of cheated Hana Kimura, that she deserved to be much higher up and do much better in the voting, because she was definitely an MVP when it came to, I believe, drawing money and being a big part of the growth that Stardom saw. And I've talked about this. You can go back and listen to the archives as far as advocating just what Hana Kimura meant to the business of Stardom. And it was very sad yesterday to see the pictures, which I did see online before they were removed, of what happened apparently with Hana. No details available right now, but she had posted what came across like a suicide message yesterday that had people concerned, and there were pictures of what I guess actually were her arms and maybe her legs, other body parts, that appeared to be she self-harmed herself. She self-mutilated. And then we get the word later, hours later, that she's passed away at the very young age of just 22 years old. She had been on the reality show called Terrace House, a Japanese show, which I believe is also available on Netflix in this country. And she had gotten into some sort of confrontation, I guess, that was filmed in January with a male housemate named Kai over laundry. And Kai had apparently inadvertently washed her gear from Wrestle Kingdom and ruined the gear. And she was very stern with him. And I guess did she slap him? Yeah, she slapped him hard. And it came off, as far as reality TV goes, very badly. And it's sad because a lot of what we talked about in the past, Fumi and I, with Hannah Kimura, we talked about the doors that would be opened for stardom with Hannah Kimura and the relationship with Bushiroad. And one of those things we talked about was her being on the reality show, and to imagine that rather than being the hero, she became the villain. It's striking and stunning. So much of wrestling is consumed on a screen, whether it's streaming or television. And I've talked about seeing it in person. There are things that you don't appreciate on TV because of the camera cuts or the commentators. They show you as a fan what they want you to see. You know, I've talked about things like, for example, Grand Metalik, his grace and athleticism. He seems so effortless when you see him in person, something that I didn't really pick up on television. And because of this job, I sample a lot of wrestling, probably more than I would normally. So I was familiar with Hana Kimura, but I didn't truly understand and appreciate what she had until I saw her live for the first time in 2019. That January, I went to Tokyo Dome for Wrestle Kingdom, mainly because Dave Meltzer suggested that I should on Wrestling Observer Radio. So Fumi and Dave and I went, and because we're with Fumi, we went to a bunch of shows in Tokyo, including Stardom. Now, before this first show we went to, Fumi told me there's talk of Stardom doing an iPay-per-view in New York City for WrestleMania weekend, and they wanted him to do the show, and he asked if I would do the show. And of course, I was going to do that. I was thrilled and very, very excited. We went to the First Ring, which is a building in Shinkiba. And Shinkiba is a port area of Tokyo, Tokyo Bay. Lots of warehouses and trucks. And First Ring is also a warehouse, this just corrugated metal building. It is not fancy, but it's a business. A lot of different companies in Tokyo rent First Ring for their wrestling, and Stardom was one of those companies. And they run it usually traditionally that Wrestle Kingdom week. Now, backstage at First Ring, there's a collection of smaller buildings, and I haven't been through all the backstage, only one. If you've seen Stardom, you see the women, they cut promos in front of a banner. And at First Ring, that banner is hung up in a room that I would compare to sort of a living room of a manufactured home. It's small, it's kind of cramped, and you enter through a sliding glass door, and it's also where the bathrooms are, sort of like a trailer. And it can get very crowded and busy. So we were in there with a number of people, and it was getting really crowded. We're getting ready to leave, and so as I turn to leave, she walks in, and I am face-to-face with Hana Kimura. Very awkward. And Hana, it's very hard. If I say is, please forgive me, but she was a beautiful young woman, striking in her appearance. But wrestling and show business in general is filled with beautiful people who never went very far in their careers. There are wrestlers much better looking, with better bodies and more hair than Hulk Hogan, who never had Hulk Hogan's success. And Hana Kimura, while she was beautiful, she had a presence, a charisma. And when talking about the Hana Kimura character in the ring, not the person, the character, I guess if you never watched her or unfamiliar, the best comparison to someone in WWE might be Alexa Bliss. Just with that attitude, and she was very much a leader who people glommed onto. And if you didn't know, again, Hana Kimura was second generation. Her mother, Kyoko Kimura, wrestled for like 15 years and just retired in 2017. And she still has a food truck. Matter of fact, it's oftentimes at Shinkiba, and she's there. Kyoko basically raised Hana herself and took her to the matches. And people like my friend Fumi Saito saw her grow up at the matches. Matter of fact, I tweeted something out. She won her first title, the DDT Heavyweight. There's basically the 24/7 version of a DDT title. She won it when she was like 8 years old. And there's a picture I tweeted out of Jim Valley, retweeted, and you could see her mom there standing, and it was totally a comedy thing. So, you know, she's been around wrestling and the matches for a long time. And to me, in the ring, I guess, again, for North American fans, to me, she was kind of like a Randy Orton, where she was always in control and she succeeded with a lot of timing, instinct, and charisma. So she has this stunning beauty, she has this star quality charisma, and she has this intrinsical knowledge of growing up around wrestling to know what to do, when to do it, and never do too much. And from January that year, 2019, until we did the Stardom American Dream Show in New York, I did nothing but watch Stardom. I would go, oh, I don't need to watch a rerun of The Big Bang Theory. I should probably be watching Stardom. And I really boned up on Stardom and got everything down. And the more I saw of Hana Kimura, the more that I was convinced that she was a star. And talking with Fumi, there were plans for Hana Kimura. She was under contract with other people, but once that contract was fulfilled, she was signed full-time to Stardom. And you can point to that time business-wise, and that is really when things took off for Stardom. And I'll talk a little bit more about that and Hana Kimura as we pay tribute to her. If you have something, you can tweet me at Jim Valley on Twitter or 1-800-878. I can't even get the numbers right today, kids. I'm really sorry about that. 1-800-878-PLAY. 1-800-878-7529. Jim Valley, Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline, Broadcasting Network. It's Jim Valley, Wrestling Observer Live. You can tweet me at Jim Valley as we remember Hana Kimura, a young wrestler who's passed away at the age of 22 years old. If you'd like to remember her, 1-800-878-PLAY, 1-800-878-7529. Let's go to the phones. Tony in Philadelphia. What's going on, Tony?
Hey, Jim. I wish I was calling in under better terms, honestly, because if you remember my calls, I'm a giant Stardom fan, and this is the worst wrestling death that has affected me in a long, long time because of who it is and the circumstances. I've been texting Brian this year, but for those who don't know, my mother passed away earlier this year as well, and this year just continues to get worse. And just to be waking up by this, I've met Hana Kimura a couple times, and she was incredibly nice every single time. You know, I have several videos and pictures of me just, you know, goofing off with her. She was nice to everybody. She didn't, you know, she didn't mind who you were. She was just nice and kind to everybody. And at 22 years old, you know, I didn't want to see it happen, but I knew she was going to go to the WWE eventually because she was that much of a superstar. And it's just the irony of all ironies, because right now, online, there's this big YouTube war with YouTubers, and one of the topics brought up is Etika. If you know who he is, he was a very popular Twitch streamer who also committed suicide, and basically, he posted a seven-minute apology video right before his death, and I watched that last night, again, in the irony of all ironies. And I just felt like I was reliving it all over again, following the story of her Twitter and her Instagram story, you know, checking Twitter, just constantly reloading, checking the Stardom Reddit page. And I feel bad for everybody, her family, Kyoko, Jungle Kiona, who I read apparently rushed to Hana Kimura's apartment, but was too late. It's just, I'm not going to be able to watch Double or Nothing, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to watch wrestling for a while. This is just heartbreaking.
Yeah, it's very sad, Tony. Thanks for the call. 1-800-878-PLAY, 1-800-878-7529. As I mentioned, when I saw Hana in person, when I ran into her nose to nose, it was awkward, but then she goes, "Hello, my name is Hana. Nice to meet you." And her English and her pronunciation was perfect. And I thought to myself, wow, she also is bilingual. And I was so impressed by everything with Hana Kimura. She really was an outstanding young woman. Let's go to Ryan now. Ryan, you're on with Jim Valley.
Heavy. Couple questions about Owen Hart for you. Have you read the King of Pranks book that came out last year? I believe that it wasn't written by anyone associated with the Hart Foundation. And also, you know why he was shoved out to Barry Horowitz in his first run? Did he do something to anger Vince McMahon?
What was the second question?
I noticed that Owen had lost to Barry Horowitz his last two matches going out of the company, which I thought was maybe a little bit disrespectful towards him. So was there some like bad blood going on between them?
Thanks for the call, Ryan. I'm not going to be much help on those. I'm not aware of the Barry Horowitz matches, nor am I aware of the book, so I'm sorry about that. Hopefully someone can tweet me at Jim Valley and get me some information on that. I don't know, so I'm sorry to say I have no answers as far as those go right now, as far as Owen Hart. But the interviews up with Ross and Martha are both very good, so I would recommend going to check those out at WrestlingObserver.com. And I believe the Martha Hart interview is also free up on the Figure Four Wrestling Observer YouTube page as well. You know, the thing about stardom, I guess it comes back to me when we did the pay-per-view at WrestleMania weekend last year in New York. As Tony mentioned, in person, she had an intangible quality. And she had huge merchandise lines and autograph lines. And in New York City, it was no exception for Hana Kimura. Probably over 600 fans at this event to see the American Dream 2019 iPay-per-view. And virtually none of the fans left after the show. Everybody stayed to get t-shirts and programs and autographs. And by far, the longest line was for Hana Kimura. And we were there probably a couple of hours after the show because that's how strong the fan demand was to meet everybody, really, in stardom. And not just Hana, but Hana was probably, by far, I would say, the most popular of all of the wrestlers in stardom. And from what I've seen, whenever I've seen her wrestle in Shinkiba, and it's kind of sad. I was there for her big match at Madison Square Garden before the Ring of Honor New Japan show that year. And also I was there at Wrestle Kingdom when she fought and opened up the show, the dark match in Wrestle Kingdom. And a lot of that is based on her and her popularity. And as I've said before, if you've heard the show, a lot of stardom's popularity can be traced back to Hana Kimura. And if you're not familiar with stardom, you probably are familiar with NXT and WWE, and you know who Io Shirai and Kairi Sane are. And Kairi Sane and Io Shirai were in stardom, and they were the aces, let's just call them, of stardom. And when they left, those are huge stars leaving the promotion. And stardom was not able to just go on. It was able to seemingly grow and flourish eventually. And a lot of that is due to the popularity of Hana Kimura, which we were seeing now. Now, after the American Dream pay-per-view, Rossi Ogawa and the company took everybody out to dinner at a very nice Korean barbecue restaurant. And just by chance, I sat across the table from Hana Kimura. And remembering her very impressive English, we exchanged some pleasantries, and I tried some small talk. And it turns out Hana Kimura only knew a few phrases in English. She did not know as much English as I thought she did because her diction and her grammar and her pronunciation were so clear. And it was a little awkward at first, but we were able to have a conversation eventually with some translations and broken English. But she was very, very nice. And after we were done eating, everybody got their jackets and headed off to the hotel where we were all staying. And it was a very drizzly night in New York City. And unlike the trip to the arena before the show, a lot of the wrestlers didn't stay with their factions. They didn't stay with other heels or baby faces. They just were heading back to the hotel as people. And as we're all kind of briskly walking in the drizzle a couple of blocks, ready to get back to the hotel, Hana Kimura ran past me to catch up with, I believe, it was Momo Watanabe. And they lock arms in their rain jackets, and they kind of lean into each other warmly as friends, and they're laughing and chatting and kind of skipping a bit into the rain. And at that point, in my eyes, they ceased to be wrestlers and performers and superstars in the wrestling world, and they just became young women. They could have been college roommates or co-workers going home to their crappy apartments after their first real jobs. They were just young women. And I believe at the time, Momo Watanabe was still a teenager. She was probably 18 or 19. And Hana Kimura was probably 20-ish. And I guess that's what it all comes down to, is I just have this memory of Momo and Hana together, that they were celebrities and wrestlers, and Hana, by all accounts, was very much a star and an economic engine driving the success and the resurgence of stardom, but she was still a young woman. And even though Hana Kimura seemingly had a grasp on the wrestling business and was on her way to being a bona fide star, she was just a young person. A young person with the same insecurities, and a young person who still had things to learn in this world. I'm much older than Hana, and I have things that I still need to learn in this world, and that I live every day. And though I guess you see people on television or in concerts, at the Academy Awards, at the Grammys, Hana Kimura, even though she seemingly liked everyone and everyone liked Hana, and even though she seemed to be a person who was on her way to superstardom and one of the few people in wrestling right now who was drawing money, and you could point to it conclusively and show that she was drawing money, she was still just a young person. Wrestling Observer Live, it's Jim Vallee, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. It's Wrestling Observer Live, Jim Vallee, 1-800-878-PLAY, 1-800-878-7529. There will be a replay of this show Sunday, right after Wrestling Observer with Mike and Brian. That's 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. And Memorial Day weekend, we could see, perhaps I'm told, some more replays of the show as we talk about Hana Kimura, who has passed away tragically at the age of 22 years old. It's very sad. Before she became leader of the Tokyo Cyber Squad, she would come out to a song that would say, you blocked me on Facebook, now you're going to die, or something like that, a house techno song. And her character in wrestling was very much a brat. Like I said, sort of like Alexa Bliss, kind of a mean girl. And obviously that's very sad considering the circumstances surrounding her tragic real-life death. But I would prefer to remember Hana for all of the good things. In January, we talked about the retirement of Kagetsu, a wrestler from Stardom, who was the leader of a heel faction called Oedo Tai in Stardom, which ironically was originally started by Hana's mother, Kyoko Kimura. Now, in January, to pay tribute to her roots and to pay tribute to Kagetsu and Oedotai, Hana Kimura, who was already a big star, came out for a match with Kagetsu dressed up in her old Oedotai outfit, all black and red. And not only that, Hana Kimura dyed her hair jet black in tribute to Kagetsu and Oedotai, and obviously her mother. And after the match was over, Kagetsu and Hana Kimura bowed to each other for an extended period of time, to each other on their knees, and then hugged and smiled and cried and whispered to each other. And it was a beautiful moment because it was something that the fans saw on camera as Hana was in Oedotai and tag team champions with Kagetsu, but it was also something in real life as Kagetsu was also had a real life relationship and mentorship and played a role in Hana Kimura's development as a professional wrestler. A beautiful moment, and I tweeted it out. You can find it on my Twitter, but it's really sad because at the time you were thinking that they were honoring Kagetsu, who has since retired and we haven't heard much from since. But unfortunately, the tragic reality of the situation is that we end up reflecting more as we look back on that at Hana Kimura. And as I said, she was a very pretty young woman, but it was more than just that. She had a charisma and a presence, and she was drawing money. And as I mentioned in January, it was really a shame, for whatever reason, that the voters at Wrestling Observer didn't acknowledge that when it came to the MVP voting, when it came to Female Wrestler of the Year, and it came to other balloting, because there are tangible evidence of Hana's impact on stardom. And it's one thing to say that, oh, so-and-so, whomever, was a talent, and so-and-so was great. But in Hana's case, like I said, she was doing something that very few people in wrestling do now, and that's draw money as an individual. Because so much of wrestling now is based around the brand, whether it's WWE or any other brand, everybody is just a part of the show. And Hana Kimura stood out. And even though she wasn't in WWE and didn't have much exposure to a North American audience outside of a few appearances in Shimmer, I believe, and Ring of Honor, you know, she was trending number one on Twitter and is still trending right now. The coverage she is getting is astounding, I must say, and it's well-deserved. And it's hard to say exactly... There are a lot of people talking about the internet bullying aspect of it. And I am sure that is part of this, but I don't really want to focus on that right now. And I understand people are upset, and they should be. And I understand people in situations like this always look for solutions. That's normal and that's understandable. Where I am at personally and emotionally, I would much rather focus on the positives and pay tribute to Hana herself right now. And it's just, it's very sad to look back and talk about some of the aspects of her career and where she was going and just see where we are. Right now. Someone did mention, yeah, you're right. Her song is a remix of Internet Friends by Knife Party. Yeah. Someone else wrote, you tweeted a few months ago about the stardom event on YouTube going on. My wife and I watched it, and I believe Hana Kimura was in a six-woman tag team match. She was actually one of two or three that night that stood out as, wow, they're great. Chris Townsend says, definitely a travesty as far as what happened. That's true, Chris. Thank you so much for the tweet. Let's go to the phone lines now at 1-800-878-PLAY. Let's go to Richard. Richard, what's going on?
Well, I didn't hear you mention the cause of death.
Thank you, Richard. The cause of death is believed to be suicide. There were pictures up on her Twitter of herself harming herself. I saw those yesterday. At the time, I had hoped that they were just a youthful indiscretion, that perhaps they were pictures of someone else or something else. But as far as we know right now, that does not appear to be the case. But the cause of death, as we know right now, appears to be suicide. And some of the things that she tweeted, it appears to be she was very upset over a lot of the reaction that she got to her interaction on the reality show and her interaction with her housemate, Kai. And, you know, some people have used the phrase cyberbullying. I'm not against that, but I'd rather not use buzzwords right now at the moment. And like I said, where I'm at emotionally, I would just rather pay tribute to Hana Kimura and who she was and why she was so special. And particularly if you never saw Hana Kimura, exactly what made her who she was and why she has had, obviously, the impact that she has had with her passing. But it is fairly certain that she took her own life, and it appears to be connected to the reaction that she received because of the reality show. As far as the reality show, I don't know anything where that goes from here or what the producers' reactions will be. And a lot of people tweeting, and rightfully so, that yes, even though you're a celebrity, even though you seem to have the world by the tail, you are still a person. And that is true. Don't be jerks to people. And things you see on television are often edited. Things you see on television are not always what they seem to be. And things you see on television are often edited, or they're meant to get a reaction out of you. Much of our life is not just about intellectual. I think we think that we look at facts and measure everything out and make decisions, but that's really not the case. And a lot of the things that you buy or purchase or consume, watch, are based on emotion and how you relate to things emotionally. And much of what you consume is based on how you feel emotionally when you watch it or what you relate to. So yes, definitely take a step back and understand that. And I guess that's also part of my confusion, is that in all of the years that I have watched wrestling, I don't know everything that goes on, but I have become very cynical about things. And many fans oftentimes share the cynicism, and it crosses over into how we see other aspects of life or consume or view other aspects of media. And just keep that in mind. Don't be jerks to people online. Don't send offensive pictures. No one wants to see any of your naked body parts sent to them randomly. All of those things. Be a nice person. It's Memorial Day weekend here in the United States as we remember those who have given the ultimate sacrifice. And also, it's a very difficult time with coronavirus and people losing their jobs, losing their business, losing their loved ones, and being out of touch with a lot of the human aspect that we have come to expect out of our modern, convenient lifestyle. It's not an easy time for anybody, regardless. So don't be a jerk, whether it means going outside and breathing on someone or harassing someone because they are wearing a mask or not. Just try to stay in your lane, be a good person, and understand that whether someone has a lot of money or power or they're gorgeous or they are at the top of their chosen field, It doesn't mean that they have everything figured out, and it doesn't mean that it all can't come crumbling down tomorrow. So take this time, maybe find a quiet place, maybe find a time for some personal reflection, or be in touch with someone. Call your friend, Zoom with a close friend or someone you haven't talked to in a while. I've talked about it at the beginning of this whole pandemic. Try to find something that makes you happy and brings you peace. And that's really all that we can do. Because it's very sad that someone like Hana Kimura, who seemingly had the world by a tail and seemingly had a bright future and everything paved out very clearly to where she was going to go and who she was going to be. And at the end of the day, for whatever reason, even though she has all of these friends and all of these supporters, she still felt very alone in this world. And that's very sad. So trust me, you are not alone. Call somebody, talk to somebody. I'm thinking of Road Dogg right now. Your ass better call somebody if you're not feeling well. Zoom with somebody. Go out and get a burger, whatever makes you happy. Find your happy place, whether it's reading, whether it's playing a game, whether it's talking to someone, a puzzle, gorging on comfort food, listening to your favorite music, or watching your favorite form of professional wrestling. And that's probably the best advice that I can give you or anybody right now, is to just find a little peace and find a little happiness, as in this country, we do this three-day weekend. And just keep in mind that no matter who they are probably hurting more than you realize. It's Jim Valley. It's Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. Jim Valley, Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. Very quickly, AEW Double or Nothing tonight on pay-per-view. Looks like a very good show. Joey Janela replacing Phoenix in the casino ladder match at Double or Nothing tonight. So that means Janela, Darby Allin, Colt Cabana, Cassidy, Orange Cassidy, Scorpio Sky, Skip Sabian, Frankie Kazarian, and Luchasaurus are the participants. Also, there'll be a mystery partner. Also, not only is Phoenix pulled from the show, but Britt Baker was removed from her match against Chris Statlander. She's going to be replaced by Penelope Ford. So that means tonight, Best Friends versus Private Party, Penelope Ford versus Chris Statlander, MJF versus Jungle Boy, Dustin Rhodes versus Shawn Spears, Nyla Rose defending the title versus Hikaru Shida, the casino ladder match, Cody versus Lance Archer for the TNT title with Mike Tyson delivering the title to whomever wins that match, the Elite versus the Inner Circle in the Stadium Stampede match, and Jon Moxley versus Brody Lee for the AEW title tonight. Dave Meltzer has tweeted out that the Stadium Stampede match is going to be very creative. So it was taped yesterday, and if Dave says it's very creative, that means something. And also Chris Jericho tweeting out, Stadium Stampede, one of the best things he's ever been a part of in 30 years in the wrestling business. No joke, don't miss it live on pay-per-view. So if both Dave and Chris Jericho are saying that the Stadium Stampede is going to be creative, I've got to say that piques my interest. So I'm sorry, because of circumstances, we were unable to focus too much on what you see on television when it comes to wrestling, but the loss of Hana Kimura is just very tragic. I'm Jim Valley. I will talk to you next time, either next Saturday or Friday or sometime. Go to WrestlingObserver.com for more, and we'll talk to you next time. Wrestling Observer Live.